This is another edition of Get Lit with Literature. This is Monk. There's more to check out at the website, allbook-books.com. This week I was moved emotionally, mentally, by the what's going on at Thacker Pass, Pehemaha, where people are attempting to stop the destructive mining for lithium for car batteries, which are not clean. Maybe the air is a little cleaner, but the destruction of from mining and the whole production is not clean, it's not renewable, it's not sustainable. So there's more about that at the Protect Thacker Pass site, but what I want to highlight is that on Tuesday morning, April 25th, there was, I don't have the exact names or the exact tribes, an elder spiritual leader and a younger woman quietly, prayerfully protesting by standing on the road that was recently, could say created, but it was destructed. They destroyed native burial sites and sacred land to make that road. So I won't say the road was constructed, the road was destructed or something. Anyway, the elder sitting in a wheelchair and the woman standing with a tall staff silently. This is early hours of the day. On the video they said live stream it was like 6 a.m. So it wasn't warm yet. It was up in the mountains. It was chilly. And they were standing there, just quietly, very still. Courage to do that, because who knows, they could get arrested. Humbleness to do that, just standing there in the cold. And the strength to do that. So, that just, when I reflected on that later in the day, I thought, that, there's an energy behind that that allows someone to do that, because much of our world today is fast-paced, and people, the technology encourages, you know, instant gratification, and people don't make as much of the time to stop and really talk and say how are you, instead of just, you know, hi bye on the fly. So I just started pondering that. So I wanted to talk about that energy behind that, so to speak, because it takes a, I don't know if training is the right word, but it takes discipline and consciousness and a lifestyle, and to carry oneself with a certain energy that enables one to do that, to withstand the normal comforts and to be calm and centered and still, the stillness, in a prayerful way. So that to me is what is beyond the books, and why I often talk about, you know, books are wonderful. I love them. I learn a lot. But when it gets to actual full tilt living, and as I write about a lot in the Zen lingo of direct experience, that one has to jump in the water and taste things and experience the school of hard knocks to learn one's own lessons, not just book learning. So the people, you know, the people standing there and the guy, the man in the wheelchair, it's just one of those moments I'd have to think to put words to it. So to put more words to it, but just their presence and their energy reminded me of how important that energy is. And I think that's when I think about some of the people that have been most influential in my life thus far, it's oftentimes I remember just it was hanging around with them and their presence and the way they handled things and the way they responded or didn't react or reacted or what they did or didn't do and their energy, and just sitting with them, laughing with them, quietly with them, talking with them, whatever it is. But those energies are irreplaceable, And maybe those are some of what we, at least I try to write about to stay in touch with that, because it's a delicate balance, a kind of yin and yang balance of that. Because the words and language are, of course, important. They shape our consciousness and how we interact and in the world. And yet, which came first? Was the word in the beginning, or was the silence in the beginning? When I think about the percentages of a day, the amount of writing and talking and blah, 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 eventually one comes back to the silence. I think of being at a gathering and lots of people, and it's wonderful and it's fun. But then I get home and it's like back to the silence. So the silence is powerful. Silence is a powerful clarifier and purifier. And in my experience, if one, by listening in the silence, the longer one does that, the more one hears. So when I sit and it's quiet, I literally hear like a very slight buzzing or white noise. And I have often pondered, what is that? What is that very subtle noise? Is it non-physical beings? Is it angelic noises? What is making that little sound? But also, in the quiet, one can hear things. So, personally, and for being a writer, the quiet is essential. A playwright has, or somebody writing a script has to get the people's voices and the sounds and the tones and all that, and the rhythms and the sounds for a poet. The listening is essential. Is again a balance of the listening and the verbalizing or talking. So that's basically what I wanted to highlight this week, is that we put a lot into that there are great, wonderful speakers who inspire us, and there are people who are wonderful writers and have written a lot of books. But to flip the cliche, the overused phrase now at the end of the day, at the beginning of the day, to start in a prayerful way and give thanks and stay true to what is essential, the protecting of the land and all the critters and the waters at the beginning of the day, that As those native people at Thacker Pass Pehemaha showed me and showed a lot of people, there's a way at the beginning of the day, if one is in tune with that, I think one's day will flow differently and help avoid the frantic race to running so as to slow down. Actually, one time I was waiting for something on the computer to work, and it didn't work right away, and I got impatient and annoyed, and then I thought, wait a minute, how long did that actually take to load, or whatever it was doing? And I counted, and it was like, I don't know, 5 or 10 seconds, and I realized, holy smokes, here I am overreacting to waiting for 5 seconds. So that is how sneaky the speed of day-to-day lifestyle can catch up with you, and it's kind of like an addiction, where all of a sudden it's like, I gotta have it now. But if you stop and pause, you realize it's only 10 seconds or whatever it is. So now I'm gonna read a poem I wrote a while ago, because it touches on some of what I talked about listening. It's called Keeping House. Just enough dust on the kitchen floor, or a stray piece of onion skin, says, this house is lived in. A screwdriver in the bathroom, or a thin orange peel in the bedroom, says, life is more than a first glance. A pair of underwear in the pantry, or a boot caked with mud in the living room, says, something else was a priority. The refrigerator humming usually says nothing, though when I'm awake in bed at night, do not think me foolish to swear I do hear it sound like an airplane or thunder, a lawnmower, or the earth rumbling somewhere, or on some precious nights a room full of angels chanting. When morning sunlight all but shouts with joy through eastern windows, the house says absolutely nothing. Though it does listen deeply for instructions on how to be a house, how to take light into every corner.